the Lord impressed upon me something that we don't hear much about, it seems like. At least I haven't. And so we want to take a look at that this morning. Is that wedding music I hear? Here in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord's created Adam and Eve, or Adam and woman. And in chapter 2 and verse 21, the Lord says here, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Because of that, Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, cleave in every degree, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and we're not ashamed." Here the Lord ordained marriage. And if we turn over and take a look at Mark chapter 10, and the Lord during his ministry, he was dealing with those that he was talking to here and the problem that they had. And we just want to take a look at what he says in that. We're not going to necessarily take a look at what he was dealing with them about, but we want to take a look at what he says. And in Mark chapter 10, verse number 6, the Lord says to them there, Mark 10, verse 6, "But from the beginning of the creation," Jesus Christ says, "God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. Not another man, a woman, not another woman, but a man and a woman, as God has created them and ordained them, shall he leave and cleave to. And they twain, the two of them, shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." That's what Jesus Christ added to it. It's been that way from the beginning. And that's the way it needs to keep on being. Because the Lord ordained it to be. And men should not break it up. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Take a look here, and we see these scriptures here about marriage and how the Lord wants it to be amongst us. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 14. The apostle writes here, inspired by the Lord, "I will therefore that the younger women marry." Who are they going to marry? They're going to marry men. Okay? So yeah, it's talking about the gals, but they're going to be marrying men. "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, so that they can give none occasion to the adversary," that is Satan, "and those that are out in the world can speak reproachfully." It goes on to say over in Titus chapter 2. Turn over there real quick. We'll read that in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse number 5. Here the older women are the aged women are to be teaching the younger. And in Titus chapter 2, they're to be teaching them what? To be discreet. To be discreet in all ways, in conversation, in the clothes that they wear, in their behavior, all those things. Men, we're not off the hook. We're to be discreet also. To be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? So the word of God won't be blasphemed. Marriage established by the Lord, a gift to mankind from over on the other side of sin. It comes from the garden, marriage does. Marriage and work both come from the garden, don't they? They do. Marriage, ordained by God. And you know what? During the Lord Jesus Christ, during the course of his ministry, in John chapter 2, we see he was bid to a marriage, wasn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ, early on in his ministry, he was bid to a wedding. Some 30 years old the Lord Jesus Christ was when he was asked to come to this wedding. In John chapter 2, verse number 1, the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. They were called there to the wedding, to the feast of the wedding, and they went there, as you know the account is so. Did you ever consider with the Lord Jesus Christ, and how has it been with you and I? Everybody likes going to a wedding. A wedding is a good time, generally, and it's enjoyable. It's a blessing, especially if those that are being married are right before the Lord. It's a good time. And we enjoy doing so. You remember as a kid, you went to a wedding and maybe look forward to the punch, look forward to the cake. Boy, if they had that punch recipe right, it was good, wasn't it? The cake, the festivities, maybe there's a dinner. And we just look forward to that. And did we not, as we were children, think, one day that'll be me. One day will I get married? Wonder who it'll be that I will marry. We thought about it, didn't we? Can't help but think about it, that there they are, the bride, the groom, and their wedding ceremony that we attended. We've all been to many. But didn't you think about yourself when it would be your day to stand up there and be married, and who you would marry in that? The Lord Jesus Christ is there at that wedding in Cana of Galilee. What did he think about? Did he think about being married? Did he think about being wed? No. No. He was there. Would he ever be married on this earth? No. Because he came first to be the Savior. He set it aside for us. Isaiah chapter 53. Take a look over here. You know, this is just a nugget that's hidden right in here. But I tell you, it means a world. It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he laid aside for us. One of the things that in his flesh, while he was here on this earth, as a man, he laid aside for us. The whole thing about marriage is so the family can begin, right? That joining together of a man and a woman together in holy matrimony. They're there in marriage, and that's the beginning of a family. And the pattern and the way and the design of the Lord is that children come from that marriage. Amen. And a family be there. A family be there. And children be raised to go on. The Lord set it so the earth could be filled with people. But here in Isaiah 53, it speaks to us about the Lord. And you're familiar with it. But look what it says in verse number 8. He, that is Jesus, was taken from prison and from judgment. He didn't have a trial that was right. He wasn't estimated in the fairness and rightness of the judgment of God. Oh, but it was manipulated. It was twisted, wasn't it? And who shall declare his generation? You know who's going to declare my generation? My children. You know who's going to declare your generation? Your children. That's the heritage, the posterity that we have that goes on beyond us. The scripture says that blessed is the man that has his quiver full of those children. Because why? Because those arrows shoot farther than we'll go. But not the Lord. Not the Lord physically on this earth. He set aside having a wife. He set aside having his own wedding on this earth during the time of his physical life. He set aside having a wife so he could accomplish first that which needed to be in being a Savior. You know, but in that, in his ministry, and oh, isn't it terrible about how the world is and accuse the Lord of salacious relationship with Mary Magdalene and all that's just wickedness. Wickedness. Our Savior came and he died a virgin. And there's no shame in that. The world has made it a shame to be a virgin. But we should be. You should be. If you're here and you're not married, you're not, you don't have a wife, young people, older people, and you haven't been married, you need to remain chaste. Virgin. Without that physical intimacy. And you also need to maintain an innocency about you and don't flirt and flirt and flirt up to not having that ultimate intimacy, if you will. You need to be chaste, you need to be a virgin, and you need to be innocent. That's the way God wants it. That's the way the Lord wants it to be. But our Lord was. He's pure, he's holy, not even a thought of sin. But yet, the Scripture talks about a marriage of the Lord, doesn't it? It does. in Ephesians chapter 5. Take a look over here and we see this about this greater wedding, this greater marriage that the Lord is going to have. And the scripture begins to speak about it here in Ephesians chapter 5. Look over here at verse 25. Look at this marriage. Yes, he didn't have a wife and children on this earth during the time of his life on this earth. He has a greater marriage in store, doesn't he? He does. Is that wedding music I hear? Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives the way that Jesus loved the church. He gave himself fully and completely for her, didn't he? He did. He did. Look what else that it says that he wants to do. And he might plan to do it. He gave himself for it with the purpose, verse 26, that he might set her apart, sanctify, that he might cleanse her, it, with the washing of water by the word. That's the purpose that he gave himself for her. He's dedicated to her, isn't he? Oh, does he love her? He sure does. He loved her to the end, didn't he? Loved his own unto the end, that he gave himself completely, fully for her, with the purpose that she might be set apart for him. Amen? Isn't that what sanctify means? Not set apart for another. Not playing around and dabbling with another. Oh, that she might be set apart and they're waiting for him. That she might be cleansed. What's it say? That she might be cleansed, that he might cleanse her, wash her up, clean her up, and make her spotless, as we're going to see, with the washing by the water of his word. Isn't that what we do here in the church? It's what we're trying to do. Every time we come and meet together, every class that goes on, I trust, we look into the Word of God to see what God has to say. You, as individual members of Olmsted Baptist Church, I trust that you look into your Bible and that you read your Bible, you listen to the Word of God, you think and meditate upon the things of the Lord, and you want to be cleaned up and washed. Yeah, don't think about somebody else needing it. We need to think about ourselves needing it. All right? It's easy always to point at somebody else, say, yeah, they need it, but we need it. I need it. You need it. We need it as individuals before the Lord. We need to be washed that way. And that's what the Lord is doing. That's what the Lord is doing with His church. He's not trying to do it, folks. I want you to hear that. Get that this morning. He's not trying to do it. He's doing it. Is He doing it in you? Is it happening in you? May the Lord help us to see it. Look over here in 2 Timothy. Look over here in 2 Timothy. Here is something that's happening. Here's something that's happening amongst folks and amongst religion today. Here it is. This is how some people live. May God help us. The Lord's not trying to clean up His church. He's doing it. He's not trying to set her apart. He's doing it. It's happening. It's happening. He will do it. Is it happening to you and me? Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, look here what it says about those that are coming in the last times. Verse number 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, that those in the last days will have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of thereof. They say this, they say that, there's no power manifested in the life. The Lord's cleaning up His church, folks. The Lord is setting her aside. Is it happening with you and me? Listen to what other scriptures say in regards to the Lord and a bride, the Lord and His church. John chapter 3. Oh, I love this passage. John chapter 3. There as they come and they talk to John the Baptist. And look what he says in verse 29. John 3, 29. John the Baptist says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." John, that Jesus is over there baptizing more than you. His following is getting greater than yours, John. John says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." He that hath the bride. Who is it that's there? The Lord is building His church, isn't He? He's building His church. He's saying, "Come, follow me. Come follow me. Come follow me. Come follow me. Isn't that what he's doing? That's what he's doing. Come follow me. And he says there, he that hath the bridegroom, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, that's John, which standeth and heareth him. I hear him talking to her. I hear him talking sweet to her. He's talking nice. He's talking divinely to her because he loves her. He cares for her. He wants to be near her. He wants to fellowship with her. Yeah, that's what John says. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. I've got to decrease, and he's got to keep on going. Amen? That's what John goes on to say. And there he refers to the Lord being there with his church, with his disciples, that the Lord's adding and building his church out of. He's saying, John's saying, I love to hear it. I rejoice to hear it. Look what else another says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the apostle is writing and dealing with this church at Corinth. They've got a lot of trouble. They've got problems. They're full. It's full of people, and so it's going to be. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the apostle Paul writes to this church at Corinth and says, listen to as much trouble as she has, as much nastiness and vileness and sin as is in her. He speaks to her this way, and he says unto her in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you, set you apart, sanctified you. And my heart and mind as an apostle, I've set you apart because that's a reason for a church. Because I've espoused you to who? What's it say? I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Church at Corinth, you're espoused to the Lord. You're committed to be married to him. It's as good as done. And I want you to be chaste. I want you to be pure. I want you to be clean because I'm looking forward to the wedding, he's saying. I'm looking forward to the wedding. Is that wedding music I hear? And then James goes on and he tells us, you're familiar with this, James chapter 1 verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Listen, folks. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Wedding garments, a robe of white. Are we all smudged up with the world and with sin and what we want and our covetousness and our wickedness that our garment is dirty? We're to be unspotted from the world. The Lord says he's cleaning her up. Look over here in Revelation chapter 3, words from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself as he appears there to John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, John the Apostle, if it will, writing here to the church at Sardis. In verse number 4 of chapter 3, he says unto them, Jesus Christ says to the church at Sardis, thou hast a few names in Sardis which has not defiled their garments. That's talking about a church. That's talking about a church member's garments. They've not been defiled. They're not dripping with the filth of the road, the filth of the world, the sin, the covetousness, the wickedness, the wantonness of the world. You have a few there which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He speaks to his church. To his church. Walk with me. For they're worthy. Walk with me in white, purified. He that overcometh, verse 5, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The Lord has a greater marriage in store. And it talks in the Scripture about His church being that bride. And you know what? In that, as I mentioned in Sunday school class, I believe this morning, there's a gift and a responsibility. Who's doing the building? Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 16. You know, these are scriptures you're familiar with. Matthew 16. Who's doing the building? Who's doing the building? Jesus Christ is, isn't He? Jesus Christ is doing the building. Listen to what these words of the Lord says. Who's doing the building? Jesus is doing the building. Matthew 16, verse number 18. He says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, a stone, a small stone. Upon this rock, bedrock, I will build my church upon Himself, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He says, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church on Me. It's going to be founded on Me. And I'm going to love her. And I'm going to build her. And I'm going to sanctify her. And I'm going to clean her up by that word. Because she's mine. And I love her so. He says He's building it. And then what's it go on to say? There's a gift there in there. And Acts chapter 2, take a look. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. "And they that gladly received His word," the preaching of the word of God, "were baptized, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls." Souls are being added to something. Souls are being added to a church. Souls are being added to the Lord's church that He built there and that He left there in Jerusalem in that day. And how? Who's doing the adding? Who's doing the building? Verse 47, "praising God and having favor with all the people," in Acts 2:47, "and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The Lord adding. The Lord adding. A gift of being added to the Lord's church. Is not salvation a gift? Would we think that anything else? John the Baptist said himself, "No man can receive a thing unless he receives it from the Father." The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Unless the Father draw you, you can't come to Me." And that's talking about salvation. That's talking about the church. The Word of God's what's preached. And the Spirit of God moves and convicts. But it's a gift of God to be saved. And it's a gift of God to be put in this kind of church. And He has done so. And He is building. And He is adding. Matthew chapter 25. But with the gift, folks, comes a responsibility. With the gift comes a responsibility. You take it. I challenge my Sunday school class. I challenge each and every one of you. You show me in the Scripture a gift from the Lord that does not come without responsibility. I want to see it. I want to see it because that's the way it seems to me to be in the Scripture. With the gift comes responsibility. With the gift comes a responsibility, and we'll see why that is. Here in Matthew 25, this parable is talked about much, and honestly, I've never preached on this parable before, never has been, but I'm going to give you something that I've been thinking about and praying about. I heard some others talk about it some time ago, and let's take a look at it here. The Lord help us that we might understand. With a gift comes a responsibility. The Lord is building. The Lord is adding to His church. He's setting her apart. He's sanctifying her for Himself. He's cleaning her up with His word. And here in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins." And when you see that about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it's not going to tell you these instances in the Scripture. To me, it seems like that when it talks to you about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, it's not telling you, any one of those passages, it's not telling you about how all the kingdom operates. It's telling you about how a piece is working. This piece, that piece, another piece, how it works in all the kingdom of the Lord. What is in the kingdom of God? Everything. Everything, everybody is in the Lord's domain and kingdom. Satan is a prince of the power of the air. Michael Gabriel, those different ones that Daniel refers to in the scripture, they are princes and they are given. And the prince of Persia is yet another demon, another angel that's there to withstand the ministers of the Lord as he goes to work in them. It's all in his kingdom. Everything, everybody, everything that's ever been created, all there is in the Lord's kingdom. Where does he not have dominion and power? Everywhere. He's got it all, right? All power is his. So all of it. But this thing in the kingdom, one piece of how the kingdom works is like this. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." I submit to you for consideration this morning, these are all virgins. They all had expectation of the Lord coming. They all had lamps. And as oil is a type of the Spirit of God, they all had capacity for the Spirit of God being within. But there were 5 that had another vessel, didn't they? They had another vessel. And so, yes, I believe that they're all saved. I believe they represent those that are saved. But those 5 that had the other vessel, they had been given the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in the church. Consider it. They all had the capacity. The others could go and buy oil, and they had the capacity, but they had not been given to be in the church. And when it came time, what did it say they did? They trimmed their lamps, didn't they? What's it say? Let's read that again. At midnight, verse 6, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. He's there with his church. Those that came and said, "Lord, open to us," he says, "No, I know you not in this capacity of you being in here in the bride chamber with me. I know you not. I know you not." Who's building his church? Who has called those to be in his church? Those who have not been added by the Lord will be made manifest, won't they? I'm talking about in the church. I'm not talking about saved or lost. I'm talking about in the Lord's church. See, we have a role, and right now it's got about 70-some names on it. But what's the role in heaven look like, folks? What's the role in heaven look like? Who are those that the Lord has added? Look over here in 1 John chapter 2. Look over here. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 19. 1 John 2, 19. It says here, talking about Antichrist, talking about in the Apostle John, he's going to speak in the context of a church. In verse number 18, he says, "Little children, as the last time, as you've heard, Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. There are those that come up and associate with the church, maybe from our standpoint even join the church, but the Lord hadn't added. Where are those that have been here for years and years and years and are now able to come and gone? Amen? Amen? That's true. Look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Take a look. Listen, you deal with the Lord about it. I'll talk to you about it, but think about it. The Lord is sanctifying His church. The Lord is setting her apart. The Lord is cleaning her up. But how is it being shown? How is it happening? Is it happening in you and me? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 19. Here it says with these heresies and these divisions that are there in the church of Corinth, look here what's happening. For there must also be heresies among you because of this strife that he speaks of earlier. And they which are approved. You know what that word approved means? It means taking a look at the money. Is that coin pot metal? Or is it the real genuine stuff? Is that a real bill? Or is that something that a man ran out on a copier this morning? That's what that approved means. These heresies are there. And what it's going to do, it's going to manifest those that are tried that they, let's read it again, for there must also be heresies among you because of this trouble, that they which are approved, those that are tried, may be made manifest among you. Those that are true, those that are right, those that are in a pursuit of the Lord in His church. I don't know how else to say it, but to say it the way the Lord does. Look here in Hebrews 10. A brother helped me out with this week. I had been misquoting this, but it is so very true. 10 virgins, all of them with the capacity to bear oil in their lamp, but only 5 given that extra measure to have. See, the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter won't be in one that's not in the Lord's church. He promised the Comforter to His church, folks. Does that make salvation of a soul that is not in the church less? No, they're saved. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know that He suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for you. So you're the sinner that needed saving. Yes, salvation is there. And yes, you have a relationship with the Lord. But not like those that the Lord's put in His church. Where's the glory to God going to be given? In His church. That's what the Lord said. That's what the Scripture says, not me. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling. I always would say assembly when I would quote it. Not forsaking the assembly, the body, but forsaking the assembling. Forsaken getting together with the rest of the Lord's bride, with the rest of the Lord's church. We're here assembling this morning, aren't we? And you've not forsaken it. You've been here, and that's good. I'm glad to see you. It's wonderful when we can be together. But as the brother said, and as we said many times, when the membership is not completely here, we are a disjointed body, aren't we? What if I cut off my arm and laid it here on the piano? That would be terrible, wouldn't it? That's the way it is when we meet together and we're not here in full force. The Lord knows, as I told a brother this week, the Lord knows when we've got a real reason or when we're goofing off. Amen? When we justify it in our hearts and minds that this will be okay, when we presume against the grace of God that He will forgive us for not assembling together, may God help us. May God help us to see, is that wedding music I hear? The Lord's bride's getting ready, folks. The Lord's bride. Have you been added by the Lord, or have you or someone else added you to the Lord's church? Have you been added by the Lord, or someone else added you to Olmsted Baptist Church? It happens. It happens. You know what? There's going to be a wedding one day, There's going to be the wedding of weddings one day, the marriage and wedding and supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19. Take a look here, folks. Take a look here. This is the Word of God coming to you and me. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore." What a contrast. The whore and the bride. What a contrast, amen? The whore, the prostitute of prostitutes have been judged by the Lord, and his bride is coming up. Listen, true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, "Hallelujah! For her smoke rose up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen! Hallelujah!" And the voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of a mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him." Why? "For the marriage of the Lamb is come." It's wedding day, folks. Amen. It's wedding day. It's marriage day for the Lord. It's marriage day for the Lord. It's come. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready." With a gift, folks, comes responsibility. The virgins needed to be listening, didn't they? The virgins needed to be keeping their clothes clean. The virgins need to be prepared to trim their lamp. And when the call came, they went. They went. She's made herself ready. Who is it that's called? The Lord has called. The Lord has added. And she has been waiting on him. Look here. Here's the gift. "And to her was granted." That was given to her. But in the verse before, she made herself ready. She was granted, but she made herself ready. With a gift comes a responsibility, folks. "And she hath made herself ready, and to her was granted," verse 8, "that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." What is our righteousness? None other than the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's been granted to us. That's been given to us. And with that grant, with that gift, comes a responsibility. Get ready. Is that wedding music I hear? The Lord's coming, and these are rejoicing because of his marriage. Verse 9, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." I want you to hang on to that. Blessed, happy, touched by God are those that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Called to be the bride, called to stand up for the Lord, called to be a guest. Amen? Amen. What's the implication? Blessed are those who are not called. You know, there's a parable that talks about the Lord and tells about a king that had a marriage feast for his son. And he called all those that were subject to him, and ones had this excuse, had the other excuse, and they said no. They made light of it, the scripture says. They didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't come. And the Lord sent his army, it says. The king sent his army and destroyed them. And he said, "Go out everywhere and anywhere, and anybody that's alive, bring them in." And then he saw one there that didn't have a wedding garment on. I find that interesting. You can go read that for yourself. And he said, "Come and bind him. Take him out and throw him out in everlasting darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth." We need the righteous garment of the Lord to be at the wedding, folks. Whether a guest, whether the bride, or whether those that'll stand up for the Lord. Are you getting ready? Have you been added? Have I been added by the Lord? It goes on to say here, Verse 9, and he said and saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Listen to this. Can't leave this out. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. The angel says to him, Don't worship me. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's all about Jesus, folks. It's all about him. Is all of your life, is all of my life that I live about Jesus? Every aspect, every piece, every point of my life, do I take it and run it through Jesus and what he wants? The bride's getting ready. The bride is getting ready. Revelation chapter 3. Look over here what it says. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 21, forgive me. Revelation chapter 21, and look here what the Lord says in his word. Revelation 21, verse 1, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Listen to verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. From what I get out of the scriptures, that bride is going to have the Lord's church in her. But I'm not sure that that's the only thing that's going to be in her. I don't know. Because listen to what it says. New Jerusalem's coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We see here that John sees New Jerusalem coming down. You know how big New Jerusalem is? She's 1,200 to 1,500 miles that way. And she's 1,200 to 1,500 miles that way. And she's 1,200 to 1,500 miles that way. She's huge. And she's coming down like a bride. Coming down out of heaven like a bride. And the reason I say that I know the Lord's church and believe that the Lord's church is going to be there in the bride, but I'm not sure that that'll be the only ones that'll be there, is because of this. Look here, Revelation chapter 3. But we know for our day, we certainly know that the Lord's church is going to be there. Here as he writes to the church of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, as he writes to Philadelphia, verse 12, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Who's he talking to? The church of Philadelphia and the members therein. The overcoming members therein. The ones that are setting themselves apart. The ones that the Lord's cleaning up with his word. The ones that the Lord has put within them a desire to serve him and be faithful to him. In his church. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Isn't that what we saw coming down? Isn't that what where the Lord said he was going to dwell with his people there in New Jerusalem? It says there that he was it was coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And here in verse 12, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. See that? And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You know what? Individually, We are children of the Lord. But those of His children that He has added to His kind of church are collectively His bride, or part of His bride. Think about it. Think about how the Lord deals during the time of His ministry and in the Word, and how He talks about us being His children, how He talks about us being His friend, how He talks about us being even servants, that He's the master, and we are those that He has saved. But then when He takes those that He's saved and puts us together in a church, the reference is a bride, a lady. A lady that He loves. Well, I'm a man, Brother Jim, and I don't like to be referred to as being a bride or a lady. Get over it. That's the way the Lord's working. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's a great thing. The wickedness of our mind and the wickedness of this world makes us think that it's something else. That's the way the Lord's working. And I want to be a part of it. And the Lord is working in us. Look here in Hebrews chapter 2. This is one scripture that gives a hint and a telling of this. Hebrews chapter 2, about how this is. Individually, we are children, but those of His children that He has added to His kind of church are collectively, when they're there together in that body, when those bodies are brought together into that one body, they are collectively His bride. His bride. I think the scripture, we've seen that the scripture bears that out. Here in Hebrews 2, verse number 10, "For it became Him," this is the Lord in His flesh, "for it became Him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons," see that reference, "unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." He became a man, He became a human like you and me, yet without sin. But He became mature and He became complete, or fulfilling the will of God on our sakes, that the will of God that He had for Him in being a Savior, suffering was a part of it. Okay? What's it say? "For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." Isn't that what the Lord said about marriage? That two are made one. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John chapter 17? "I want them to be with Me, that they may behold My glory, that they may be one in Me, and I in thee, and they one in us." Isn't that what the Lord said? Yes. You go read that for yourself. But here in Hebrews 2:11, "For both He that sanctifieth," sets apart, "and they who are sanctified," that's us, "are all of one. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren." Sons, earlier in the verse, brethren now. "Saying, I will declare thy name unto My brethren." In the midst of the church, there's His bride. There's His bride. "The individuals put in His church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put My trust in Him. And again, behold, I," here it is, "and the children which God hath given Me." See that? Individually, we're children. The children that He has taken and given the gift of being in His kind of church, that He's sanctifying, that He's cleansing, it is His bride. Part of His bride, for sure. If not His bride, completely. If you are not saved, you will not even be invited to the wedding. And you need to get a handle on that. Because if you're not saved, you're not going to be even a guest at the wedding. You need to repent and believe the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ came, lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again to save sinners like you. And you need to come to Him as He commands in repentance and faith. "Show pity, Lord," needs to be your cry. Oh, may the Lord have mercy on your soul and save you. You need to be. Are you saved? If you are, you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism and serve Him in His church. That's the order. That's the plan. That's the command. Are you a member of the Lord's kind of church? You need to serve the Lord with everything you've got. In doing so, clean up your garments, trim your lamp, be watching, and get ready for the wedding. Amen.